It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
That is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I belong to you.
Do just what you want. You're the one I trust.
What's it into an area? Keo, Samola!
And I always be around. When you need some love and baby.
No
one else.
Yeah.
Put you down.
Hey guys, I'm Si, and welcome to H Podcast Nation, the home of the Andy Campbell Championship Show. This is series number 3, episode number 2. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Ace Podcast Nation, of course, your home to many great shows and series featuring top guests, expert analysts, and more. So please do give us a follow on social media, subscribe to that YouTube channel, click the bell for notifications. And if you prefer your podcasts in audio format, we are now part of the Sports Social Podcast Network, which is the UK's first dedicated sports podcast network. They produce Premier League podcasts every single day. But you can also find every single show and series produced by Ace Podcast Nation, including all previous shows from the Andy Campbell Football Show, all the different guests we've had from Emil Heskey to Daniel Gabadon, Kevin McNaughton. Too many to name, too many to remember off the top of my head, but they're all there for you to check out. Incredible interviews with incredible guests, and of course, Daddy Bat and Fight Show and all the incredible series and different things on different people, as it were. But I urge you to check out the Sports Social, give them a like and a follow, drop a comment on some of their posts, tell them you came there because of us, tell them that we sent you, tell them to promote our stuff even more. But links to everything's in the description as ever. And also, this year we are supporting a charity Super 6 Football Prediction League, raising money for two incredible charities. The first charity is Maggie Centre, which is a cancer charity, and Mind, of course, mental health charity. There's a number of ex-footballers, ex-Cardiff City players that you can compete against. There are also cash prizes for the league winners. myself, I'm playing, did very well last week. You'll be happy to know, Mr. Campbell. I got the Swansea score spot on. I think I'm about 11th out of 80-something. Well above Campbell, that's for sure. But you can compete against us. So just get join the league. Hit up Will Mellish in the chat or on Facebook, and he'll add you to the group. Obviously, you've got to get your predictions in for tomorrow. But a great charity, great cause, and a lot of fun along the way. A big thank you, as ever, to Black Diamond Sports. They're a global sports agency who represents sports stars from around the world. And for more information on what they're doing, which is some incredible stuff at the moment, really making strides in the business of football. Really excited to see some of the links they're making. But you can visit their social media pages. You can visit their website and have a look at what they're doing. I urge you to do so. They've been a tremendous help to us, supporting the show, supporting the channel. And, of course, today's sponsor, Darren Ralston and Bespoke Financial. Darren is giving away a free will worth £140 at the moment with any new policy which is taken out. All you need to do is give them a ring, find a service which they provide which will suit your situation, tell them we sent you, and then when you take the policy out, you get £140 will. Beautiful. What more to like? And obviously, they've looked after Andy for many a year, but the critical illness, the injury cover, well worth a look. They're top of their field, provide award-winning service. And we are very proud to partner with such a top-class brand. And we thank them for sponsoring the show as ever. But on with the good stuff. It is Friday, the start of the weekend. So let's get the man himself involved. He is the goal collector, the fox in the box. Still the king of the Millennium Stadium and still an ex-Cardiff City and Middlesbrough hero. And, of course, David Jones's favourite son, Mr. Andy Campbell. How are you, mate?
Good evening. Yeah, super excited. The Premier League starting the first week of the Championship. As it's been a good week of football, pure football again. I know the Carabao Cup, or whatever it's been called nowadays, has had us gripped all week. But I want to start by, obviously, what happened yesterday and the sad news with what's coming out of Plymouth. Obviously, I know, obviously, Rise based down that area. And I say from everybody who watches the show, from me and Si, from everybody, just send our best to everybody who's involved, because it was just horrific. You know what I mean? I just read things today about what happened, and it's absolutely heartbreaking and disgusting. And I just hope that it never happens again, or just doesn't get repeated, because it's just, I just couldn't get my head around it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's shocking, mate. It's unfortunate to see so many of this type of thing seems to be happening constantly. It's why I stopped reading the newspaper, because I just found it so depressing that the human beings are just intent on destroying each other. But it always hits home more when there's when there's children involved and stuff like that. So obviously thoughts and prayers with all those people involved and affected, and it even just the people in the local area is going to have a big effect on. So yeah, they obviously have our full support. As is tradition, mate, even though it's a Championship show, we like to have a 5-minute period or a little block where we talk some other stuff. So where we're bringing back for the first time in a while, I think, any other business. So, mate, really, any other business? It feels like the only place to, or the only thing to start discuss, is the Premier League. So we'll give our predictions for the Premier League this season, have a little chat about the opening weekend, because I think it's going to be very interesting. But just very quickly, did football die when Lionel Messi signed for Paris Saint-Germain?
Listen, I've read so much. I've read every argument, I've read it, every side, and it depends which side of the fence you sat on for me, really. You know what I mean? If he'd come to the Premier League, would he have picked up the same money or similar money? He would have done. So would he then be money orientated? You know what I mean? Is the argument that he didn't come to the Premier League? Is the argument that he's left a big club? Was he allowed to? We don't know the answer to these questions. The way that I look at it, he's gone to Paris Saint-Germain, and he's guaranteed himself in 2 years 6 trophies. in my opinion. You know what I mean? So six winners' medals, if not more. I don't know if they do like a charity shield or whatever. So for me, he's guaranteed six trophies with the squad that they've got, not just Lionel Messi, by the way. So for me, he's a serial winner. So, you know what I mean? Take the money side out of it. He's going to win football matches. He's going to win trophies. He's going to win medals. So for me, on that side of it, it's a good move. Financially, it's an amazing move. You know what I mean? Would I like to still see him at Barcelona? Of course I would. Would I like to see him in the Premier League? Yes, but nobody can afford him, I don't think. Especially with what's happened with COVID. If we were pre-COVID right now, I believe there would have been three or four Premier League sides who would have thrown everything at him. But I think teams have been a little bit cautious. You know what I mean? I know Man City just spent £100 million and the Harry Kane thing's rumbling on. But I think Lionel Messi, he makes money as well. You know what I mean? So I know I watched the interview with their sporting director who said that the social media went up 20 million overnight. Everything about it. So everything about Lionel Messi brings money. It brings revenue as well as giving him revenue. So for me, whoever was going to get him, it was an investment.
You're right there, mate. Barca, I read a story the other day about the amount of money that they will lose just from shirt sales. With Messi's name on, is an astronomical figure. I was just trying to find what the figure was, but like you're talking tens of millions of pounds just from merchandise with his name on. It's a big blow to Barcelona. My only thing is, moving to Paris to me is a bit like lack of ambition. Like, and I don't want to disrespect some of the historic clubs in France, but ultimately, it's no more competitive than the Chinese league or all the other leagues, which were throwing money around a couple of years back. Like, if he comes to the Premier League, for instance, he knows that every week he's going to have to compete. I would argue that in the French league, with the team they have now put together, like, to me, by the way, Donnarumma is a far better signing. It's just in the fact that he's only 21. And he's the best keeper in Europe on a free.
Is he not lacking ambition as well then?
I believe so because he's 21.
Sergio Ramos, Wijnaldum, Mbappe still. You know what I mean? He's still there. Neymar. You know what I mean? This is an argument I've had this week on social media and conversations I've had with people that everyone focuses on Messi, and if the argument is he's not fulfilling his potential by trying the Premier League or going to the best league, which is fine. I get that argument, I really do. But then the Donnarummas of this world, who was a European Championship winner for Italy, best goalkeeper in the Euros by a country mile. Purely, he's in the same bracket, if not a bigger bracket, because he's at the minute currently on form. He's the best goalkeeper in the world. So has he gone to the best team in the world? It's a grey area for me. It's a grey area.
If they do not win the Champions League this year, mate, it's an embarrassment, I got to say. And arguably, you know, they've got a manager, by the way, who a couple of years ago, everyone was saying was the next best thing since sliced bread. Didn't win the French League last year with Neymar and Mbappe and Di Maria and all these other footballers. So, look, I don't know. I was disappointed. Not necessarily that he didn't come to the Premier League. I was just disappointed with his decision to go to PSG because I felt like, after he'd given that press conference about, oh, it's not about money and I can't take this. I would have taken a pay cut to stay at Barcelona, but you can't take more than a 50% pay cut. Yeah. And then he went to PSG for astronomical money. And by the way, they've got to sell. I think it was 10 players they've got to sell to make sure they're within the financial fair play rules. It's laughable, mate. And Geraint there says, what I find laughable is him crying because he was leaving when only last year he put in a transfer request and threatened to go on strike if they didn't give him a move. It's, unfortunately, mate, it's what football is these days.
But it happens. It happened in the Premier League years ago with Stevie Gerrard. You know what I mean? When he tried
Rooney.
To sign Chelsea and Wayne Rooney's done it. You know what I mean? So listen, it happens all the time. Players have an affiliation with the club. They've been brought up. Messi's been at Barcelona, I believe, since he was 10-year-old. So it's longer than a normal person would be because he was brought over from Argentina at a very young age to do school and things. So with his family, listen, if Spanish football wasn't in the mess, he would have stayed, and I believe he would have taken a cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Spanish football is going to be nothing this year. Messi has never Messi's never done it against a Premier League team. So that, for me, I think that's the reason why he didn't come to the Premier League, because he's got a legacy to leave behind. And for me, if he didn't do it, would he have the same legacy to leave behind? I don't believe he would. And I think he knows that he's in a time in his career where he's going to rip the league up, and he's going to win games, score goals, and leave a legacy behind of Champions League, potentially championship trophies, goals, performances. So, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be my cup of tea, but you're on about him going to Paris. You know what I mean? Paris is one of the best places to live in the world, I'm guessing.
I don't doubt that.
You know
from
what I mean?
I'm talking.
The financial and, you know what I mean, the financial implications will go with it is what's annoying people after the press conference he gave, but it's not really entirely his fault. You know what I mean? He's partly to blame for coming out with it. But
the guy's a billionaire. You know, his great 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 grandchildren will never have to worry about money, so he can go wherever he wants.
I get that. So Ronaldo should start playing for free then.
No, I'm not saying he should play for free. What I'm saying is he could play for, and I put Gareth Bale in this bracket. I put Ronaldo in this bracket. All these footballers who are, and I'm talking that top sort of four or five in the world at some point in the last couple of years. Some of those, like Bale, was on like 500 grand a week, which means he's making £2 million every month. Never mind, and that's just his wages. Never mind his sponsorships and all the other things which come with it. So those footballers, I don't buy the "I've got love for this club, I've got love for that club," because they can play for anyone in the world and earn 10 grand a week. And by the way, 10 grand a week is nothing to be sniffed at. You know,
I totally agree. But listen, we've had this argument, because apparently Gareth Bale signed for Cardiff City. I must have missed a press conference. You know what I mean? Right. So if Gareth Bale had an affiliation and love for Cardiff City, he would have been in the team last Saturday, and he would have been signed, because it's the same thing with Messi. He's still signed on at a football club who doesn't really want him. He doesn't really want to be there, and the club doesn't sound like he wants to be there. The fans don't really adore him like the Welsh public do. So, you know what I mean? For me, it's the same thing, and I'm not sticking up for Messi. I just think he's getting the stick where other players, for me, are getting
I said the same about ride. Gareth Bale. When we talked about Gareth Bale and Cardiff in the summer, I said the same. If he wants to play for Cardiff, he can, because it's up to him how much wages he asks for from Cardiff, ultimately. There's strong rumours up this way, mate, that Cardiff have signed two players, but they're not quite ready to announce yet. The thing which worries me about that, mate, is that the window's open and Kiefer Moore. My worry is that they're going to sell him at the last minute and replace him with someone not adequate. So here's a question for the live chat very quickly on that, and I'm going to come back to it later in the show. If Cardiff sell Kiefer Moore, but they sign Gareth Bale, would that be acceptable to Cardiff City fans? Right, Andy, Premier League. I want you to tell me who you think's going down and who you think the top two are going to be, or top four, we'll say, because championship. And I would like you to name one player that you want people to look out for this year.
Put me on the spot. Three to go down. I'm going to go Watford. I'm going to go Brighton. And I'm going to go Burnley. I just think they've run out of luck. I believe Sean Dyche this year is the year that he runs out of luck. I think my two. I'm not really sure which order, by the way, because I still haven't made my mind up. I'm going Man City.
Go on, do top four.
Top four. Man City, Chelsea, 1 and 2. I'm not sure yet. And I'm going Liverpool, Man United, and I don't know which order those two are in. But my top two are Chelsea, Man City, but not sure which. My third and fourth are Liverpool, Man United as well, but I'm not sure which as well. I just think this year, more than any year, we're going to have an amazing competitive league where any team's going to beat anybody across the top six, in my opinion, because you've got Leicester, you've got Spurs, potentially, you've got Arsenal, who could turn you over on a good day. Mm. And that's not including the West Hams and teams like that, and the Aston Villas, because they're going to spend all that money, potentially, which they're going to get for Jack Grealish. So it's going to be... It's going to be really interesting. Really, really interesting. A player to look out for. But I'm not going to stick to the obvious. I'm gonna go Jadon Sancho because only because I believe that he's gonna be a breath of fresh air this year because of the way he plays and the way he runs past people and the goals he scores from wide and I think United have missed that since probably the Rooney and Ronaldo days and the Giggs days that they miss a wide player scoring regular goals because when you've got someone like Fernandes with the passing that he's got in between the lines and passing it in between the fullback and centre half with his pace and with his directness, he will get some joy this year. And Cavani, if he plays up top, if it's Harry Kane, if it's Rashford, if it's Greenwood, if it's Martial, those guys are going to see the benefits as well because those guys are going to get goals. And it's going to be amazing to watch. And I think that's why, for me, they're going to be more competitive and be higher than they have been previous years.
So I think going down will be Southampton, Burnley and Watford. Not sure about the order and stuff like that. I think the top four will be Leicester. All right. Liverpool. I'm not sure about Liverpool, mate, especially after Klopp said that he's not going to sign anyone. So I'm going to say Leicester above Liverpool. I'm stuck with Chelsea and Liverpool, to be honest, because Chelsea, if they play to Lukaku's strengths, he could score 35 goals this season. If they do what United did and try and make him fit into the way they play, then they won't make the top four, in my opinion, because he will not be able to do what he can, what he's capable of doing. I think the top two will be the Manchester clubs, and I think it could go either way, depending on what business both clubs do in the next week. Because if Man City sign Harry Kane, I think that probably will cement them the title. I think if United was to sign a holding midfielder, they're going to be very, very close. Yeah, Liverpool, mate, Liverpool, if they play like they did two seasons ago, will be in the title picture. If they play like they did last year, then they might not make the top four. Because I know people think that's my like anti-Liverpool thing, but mate, Liverpool was shocking last year. And there was, I would say, probably five or six performances which weren't just bad, were disgraceful. Now, you can't do that. When you look at the strengths, the people that United have brought in, they've got Maguire and Varane in central defence. They've got at least two very good goalkeepers. They've got Luke Shaw, who's, I've been saying for the last couple of months, best left-back in Europe, Wan-Bissaka.
But that's the thing side for me. I'm hoping that the Euros has had a positive effect on these footballers. And I'm on about Luke Shaw, for example. If Luke Shaw continues his form that he showed in the Euros, he's going to be one, if not the best left back in the world on current form. Because if he carries on these performances, then there's going to be no one better. And that will make sure Man United start games with a different mindset because he will pin people back. You know what I mean? He will pin the other teams back and there won't be a defender. And that'll free space for Rashford, for Martial, for James, for all the other players. You know, it's gonna be amazing for Sancho.
Right. I've made this point again before, mate. Right. If a team completely capitulates when one player is injured, then that is a mistake on the manager's front. Now, of course, losing your best player, particularly if it's an important position, is going to affect you and your form, and you might lose or draw a couple of games that you should have won, etc. Of course, happens to all teams. Everyone has injuries and suspensions and things they don't allow for. But like Liverpool capitulated last year, and like they haven't brought in anyone. If Van Dijk has a rething of his injury, are they going to just write off this season as well because Van Dijk's out? I don't buy that your best player's out, so that's an excuse to write off the season. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's acceptable at the level that we're talking.
I totally agree.
Liverpool should have been in the title picture last year, and they weren't. They weren't even in the top four. That's not acceptable. And I would say the same for United, Man City, whoever.
Well, on top now, though, we've got fans back in the stadium. How will the players react to pressure? Now, pure pressure. You know what I mean? There's going to be expectation on players from last year, from this year. Will teams set up differently? Will they defend when they attack last year? Will they not have a care in the world what goes on? For me, I think it's it's going to be fascinating because there's that many good players and some relish playing in front of a crowd. You know, I mean, there's nothing better playing in front of a sellout stadium. You know what I mean? You see that the stadiums were in the Championship were back, and it was great. Nice to see you back in Charlotte. Love it. But now, listen, it's nice, and it's going to be fascinating because we spoke about the top four, but we're top six, maybe it's eight. There's teams, and there's always a surprise. Look at West Ham last year. There's another surprise this year. Who's it going to come from? Is it going to be Leicester? Is it going to be my outside tip for a team to do well is Brentford, because I've seen them in pre-season. Because pre-season normally is teams not playing against each other. They normally go abroad and they play a various standard of teams from around the world. Like Man United, Brentford, they played Everton, Newcastle played Norwich, and Tottenham played Arsenal. So it's, you know what I mean, these teams are already matching each other out and testing each other already. So, you know what I mean, they're going to be going into the games probably straight away, bang on, up to speed with Premier League speed because of the fixtures that they've had, where normally it takes them a couple of games to get into it.
Yeah, I'll be watching Everton closely. I thought they were dreadful against United the other day. But yeah. But ultimately, they've got a good manager and they've got some good players. But Leicester, especially if they can hold on to James Maddison, but even if without James Maddison, I think they're more than, I count them as like a top five club now. I forget his name. I think it's Sodonku or something. The centre back with the long hair, who played in the Euros. He's outstanding. They've signed that. The striker which they've signed from the Austrian league has scored. He scored 35 goals last year, 27 in the league. The season before that, he scored 24. Mid. He is so rapid. Is unreal, and straight away against Man City in the Community Shield when they brought Iheanacho the Austrian guy, Man City did not know what they was going to do, but just too quick and too pace. Defenders do not lack pace.
No, I agree.
And I think
it was good for football at Leicester. I think it was good for football at Leicester when the Charity Shield. You know, I didn't agree with the Charity Shield the weekend because I looked at the team selections and for Man City, it was just a pointless exercise, you know what I mean? Because without having their best players, because some of them are still on holiday and I believe some of them probably won't play again this weekend because of only coming back to training this week. And it's the same with Kiefer Moore. I know we're going to go into Cardiff game soon, but Kiefer Moore didn't play last week because he came back from holiday late. That is this fair on football clubs? Because, you know what I mean, we haven't got... You want to get off to a good start, and if you can't play your best players because they've been in a world tournament, then I don't know. You know, I mean, there's got to be a justification behind why you can't put your best side up.
Yeah, and the other thing is this year, of course, that we haven't mentioned is come November the World Cup starts, so the season just comes to a screeching halt. So if you can be,
it'll be next season, I want it like in a season.
Not this season, isn't it? What was it? 21, 22? I don't know. I get confused. Yeah, it's next year, is it? The World Cup?
So we're still qualifying, aren't we? So,
21, 22. Yeah. I was getting my years mixed up there, mate. Wishing away the time. Okay, last thing on the on the Premier League, mate, very quickly. Harry Kane, will he play? Number one, will he play for Spurs against Man City? And number two, will he still be at Spurs when the window closes?
If he plays against Man City at the weekend, I think the club's more stupid than anybody because he's not trained. As he's been isolating, so he hasn't done any football since the Italy game for the Euros. He's probably trained a couple of days. If you didn't play as a Spurs player because he took your place, you'd be very upset if you've done a full pre-season and you've been playing games, scoring goals and playing well. But then, on the other hand, if he doesn't play, then they're playing into his hands. You know what I mean? So there's got to be a justification behind why they do their decision, why the managers.
Especially
you know
if someone is injury prone as well.
Yeah, if they want him to play, and they need a good start of the season. If they don't get a good start of the season against Man City, then it's going to be a struggle because the next season, the next game away from home, more pressure. You know what I mean? New manager, he wants to get off to a good start. I think it won't help the new manager, Nuno, at all. But I don't believe he will start. And on the transfer window, I also don't believe he'll be there as well because I think he's grumbled on this much. I think he's just talked himself away from the football club now. And I think the best deal for everybody concerned is just to get as much money as they can and somebody just to pay up.
I did read somewhere, a couple of places over the last couple of days, the United are sort of keeping a little eye on it and they might try and swoop in if the Man City deal sort of looks like it's faltering. But I don't think they've got the money unless they sell, you know, the Lingards and Rashford, Martials and people like this. And that's what I mean. Who signs Harry Kane could be the decider in the title race.
I agree, but I don't know why Spurs wouldn't be up for Jesse Lingard being part of that deal. Another Man United player. Why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Because you're losing a world-class footballer, but you're gaining
two exceptional young footballers.
Very good footballers and money, yeah. Which you can go and spend again and bring somebody else in. So you know what I mean? Because if they sell Harry Kane for cash, they've got to replace him. So what are you going to do? Because every club in the world then knows that Tottenham Hotspur have got £125 million burning a hole in the pocket, so they're going to go, right,
everything's
going to play. Everything's going to be inflated. So for me, take the player and the money, and you can invest it maybe into a younger player. I don't know.
Get the disruptive presence out of the club as well. And I don't mean he's a disruptive, like he's going to cause problems, but it's a distraction. You need to, like, either Harry Kane needs to come out and say, I'm staying and I'm committed, or they need to sell him. They can't just have it rolling on. Even when the window's closed, you can't go through the season of Harry Kane's going to go in January every day, just reports. And
he's putting to bed. He needs putting to bed before the Sunday game, because we need a definitive answer either way. And if that's Harry Kane coming out doing a news conference, if that's the chairman coming out and doing one, or the manager coming out before the game on Saturday, before the Sunday game, coming out and saying Harry's future is that A, he's staying, or B, he's going. It's either or. It's not in between. It's saying he's going.
Yeah. If I'm Daniel Levy, I'm looking at that United squad and some of those players, some young footballers who are very, very good, who would be available. And I'd be asking for two or three of them plus 50 million. And I believe United would probably do that because they want those players off the wages. And you get Harry Kane. So I believe they would need them off.
You need them off. And I think it's good business. And even if it was a player on loan as well, on top of the players, of course, but, you know what I mean? They'd snap their hands off because it gives them a 12-month period to buy a player. But they get a very good player in the meantime. I just think they're missing a trick, in my opinion.
If they had Martial and say Lingard, and they've already got Son and Lamella or whoever, they've got a couple of other wingers, haven't they? So they've got that group of attackers. Clubs could not hold them to ransom as much, because if they say, "Well, you need to replace Harry Kane, so this striker is 20 million more expensive," Daniel Levy can go away and say, "Well, no thanks, I got Anthony Martial. I'm not willing to spend that," and he can walk away from deals. And, you know, he's a good negotiator. So I think it gives them an edge. Whereas, like you say, if they've got 120 million in the bank and they haven't had any players in the exchange, everyone is 20 million more expensive, no matter who it is. Right, let's go on to the Championship, mate. We spent a bit longer than we planned to on the Premier League. Liverpool fans disrupting the chat. Right. Couple of things caught my eye generally in the Championship this week. Sol Bamba signed for Middlesbrough, as we predicted. Look, I'm deeply frustrated by it because I would have liked to have seen him be a player coach at Cardiff. I felt like his service deserved that, etc., etc. However, as you mentioned previously, I believe that his personal situation and his family situation probably meant that he's more suited to live in and around Borough than he is in and around Cardiff, I think. Yeah. So it is what it is. And I wish in some time, like, because I've seen a lot of people slating Cardiff about not keeping him and not giving him a deal. I'm more annoyed with the way Cardiff have treated Joe Bennett than I am the way they treated Sol Bamba, because I believe Sol Bamba wanted to go and work with Neil Warnock, wanted to go back up that way. So I believe that that's partially his choice. And I believe that if he deeply really wanted to stay at Cardiff, he probably could have. Whereas the way they're treating Joe Bennett, mate, is winding me right up. But
listen, on Sol, for me, you know what I mean? I don't know why clubs get caught in this predicament. You know what I mean? Sol's situation was different because of his illness. I totally get that. But if you'd have offered him when he had a year left on his contract, be a coach or be a player on another contract, or, you know, why same as Joe Bennett, why leave a player till he's out of contract and then start negotiating with him? Because here the player feels like he's not wanted, you know what I mean? So you're getting his backup straight away, you know what I mean? Sol's different. Sol lives in Leeds. Sol's based in Leeds. So Leeds to Middlesbrough, because Middlesbrough's training ground is not too far away from Leeds, by the way. It's in Darlington now. So it's very different. And, you know what I mean? He was always going to work with Neil again down the line. And with Neil's coaching staff and the way that he does things, Sol just fits nicely in. And on top of that, he plays. He made his debut through the week against Blackpool. Wasn't great, I'll be honest. But not the only one, by the way. There's another 10 who didn't perform at the same yeah. time. But for me, the bigger picture, you've got Sol Bamba, who is an exceptional professional, immaculate at what he does, handles himself fantastically well on and off the field. So as a young footballer, how can you not be engaged when you see him like a Rolls Royce turning up to training and on a game? So for me, it's a bigger picture, you know what I mean? And Neil's not stupid, by the way. Neil knows exactly what he was doing when he was bringing him in.
Borough have got quite a good group of young defenders, and I think having people like Sol Bamba, as well as Paddy McNair, people like that, is vital to developing some of those younger players. And I think it's really shrewd by
on Tuesday he played himself. Bamba played centre half with Nathan Wood Gordon, Dean Gordon's son. Nathan's a very good footballer, very young but very good potentially. Plays for England. He's had a good upbringing, but it was at Crewe last year on loan. So for me, how can you not improve by playing alongside and seeing him in training and things like that? So for me, he's got an unbelievable opportunity to kick on his young career by just watching exactly what he does.
100%, mate. The other news which caught my eye: Adam Armstrong has signed a 4-year deal with Southampton from Blackburn. Blackburn got off to a tremendous start last weekend, but this is a massive blow because he has been their goal threat, their assist threat, their goal scorer. He's been everything in the last couple of seasons. He's not the only player Blackburn have lost, by the way. So I think that's going to be a big blow to them, mate.
Oh, huge. Listen, we said last year that if he ever left in any of the windows during the season, that they were going to struggle because he was the only player scoring goals. He was scoring twos and threes and the odd one here and there, and he's going to have a huge impact on Blackburn Rovers this season. But sometimes it can have a positive impact. And I know I've just said it's going to have a huge impact, but it could turn into a positive because teams can play well as a team than one individual playing well. You know what I mean? The individual's had a great time over the last couple of seasons, scoring a ton amount of goals, and he's got an unbelievable move to the Premier League. But as a team, it can bring you together. It can make you play a different way, which I think Blackburn probably needed to do in order to be better in defence, stronger in midfield, and a little bit different in going forward. You know, they lost a few players, like you said. Stewie Downing didn't get his contract renewed. Obviously, Armstrong's left. And one thing I did find really interesting is Adam Armstrong obviously left and signed for Southampton. And Alan Shearer put something on social media yesterday. I don't know if you've seen it, but the impact what both of them have had in the similar clubs. So obviously, both of them played for Newcastle. Both of them played for Blackburn, and now both of them are playing for Southampton. So, and both of them play centre forward. So,
coincidence.
It's massive. But you know what I mean. Both Geordies and both very good at what they do. And if he can get anywhere near Alan and playing for England, because that's got to be his next level for me. You know what I mean? He's played championships, scoring goals. He's got to now do it at Southampton. Will he get the chances he got at Southampton at Blackburn? No. He's got to try and create his own stuff. He's got to hope that his teammates get the creativity sorted out, and he can get the chances to score the goals, because he's good enough to score goals, but he needs the chances also to get that opportunity.
So I just have a look at the Blackburn squad, mate. And we've talked a lot about over the last two seasons now about, on paper, their squad looks like really it's deceptively special. There's some great players in there, but they've lost some big players. But I've just looked at it. They've only got, in their whole squad, they've only got two players who are 30 and above, and that's Daniel Ayala, who's 30, and Johnson, who's 34, in central midfield. Everybody else is under 30. They're full of 21, 22, 25. I'm looking at people like So their strikers, with Adam Armstrong gone, I'm looking at Chapman, who signed a new contract as a right winger. I'm looking at that Brayton Diaz, who's 22, looked pretty good at times. But
Dolan as well. Dolan impressed me.
Sam Gallagher's got to step up now. Sam Gallagher's one of the older ones in some ways. He's 25. You know, he's got to be really looking to push on. You've got Butterworth as a youngster.
Your midfielders as well, Sire, played the weekend. Your Travis and your Buckleys, who both, you know what I mean, against Swansea, by the way, who like to pass the ball and play the ball in the middle of the park. They dominated that area. You know
really
what I mean? They've got to be given some credit. As young players, by the way, because Tony's gone down a different route. No, he's gone down a different route, and he's got rid of his experience. You know what I mean? Like last year, we were talking about Armstrong, Danny Graham, Dewey Downing, Lewis Holtby. You know what I mean? They're four Premier League footballers. You know what I mean? And they've lost that huge span of their team, but it's going to be a big miss.
So, what's Bradley Dack's current injury, mate? Do you remember?
Yeah, he's done his cruciate again, so he's done his knee again.
He's done for a while then. That can be the fit. We're going to pick two games each to discuss. I'd like to discuss Blackburn versus Swansea first and foremost, mate. Because I got the score right as well with my predictions, but Gallagher, funny enough, Gallagher and Brayton Diaz, two really stuck out for me. But you mentioned the central midfield. Swansea liked to keep the ball. And I felt like Blackburn did a fantastic job of disrupting Swansea when Swansea had the ball. But also, Tony Mowbray had Blackburn playing some good football.
Yeah, listen, I think Swansea overplayed. I think they were playing out from the back far too much. I think they were getting caught, you know what I mean? Which, listen, a new manager's come in and he's trying to ensure that he can play the Swansea way. For me, play your own way. Put your own philosophy down and your own tactics down and just play your way, because if you won that game, you put a marker down straight away. You know what I mean? Because we all know how tough the Championship is. We all know how everyone can beat anybody. You know what I mean? And we're going to talk about a couple of games very shortly. But that was a game that against a young Blackburn side, for me, should have been there for the taking. And because they overplayed at times, that you can go side to side. When you go forward, you can go back and keep the ball. They weren't hurting Blackburn. And I think Blackburn got the benefits of not having the ball because they just had good shape. And Tony and Mark Venus, who were their coaches, they just let them have it. And why wouldn't you? Because you don't need to go chasing. As long as you can see the ball in front of you, every coach and manager will tell you, just as long as you can see everything in front of you, you can watch side to side and let them have it. And they didn't really hurt them until the second half, after when they got back at 2-1, and then they started creating chances. But for them, too late by then for me.
Yeah, that's what I meant. And I thought, look, Swansea have lost a couple of players, important players in some ways. I thought Cabanga was pretty good again, is tradition. Like Grimes as well. But I also thought it's probably a good time to play Swansea, isn't it? The first game of a new manager, first game of the season. They're not going to be at it as they will be perhaps in 10 games' time. So, you know, well done to Blackburn.
Yeah,
For those, we mentioned those young players, mate. What a lift that will give them, knowing that Adam Armstrong was going, I would imagine, to beat Swansea in the first day of the season. Young players very much build on momentum, don't they? Momentum just takes them further on and they, you know, play with no fear. And that's what those players need to do. And look, Blackburn, if they can get those players playing with no fear, I still think they could do quite well. But it's if they have that rocky patch with such a young squad,
But we've spoken, haven't we, Si, about when they have that rocky patch that the experienced players drag them through. Where's the experienced players now? You know, we've only got a couple. We've got about Daniel Ayala. They've lost the midfield experience. They've lost the centre-forward experience. So where's your people on the pitch dragging each other on, you know what I mean, to the next level?
Yeah, Bradley Dack's not there either. It's going to be difficult.
But Daniel Ayala, big player, big defender. You know what I mean? Play for Liverpool, play for Norwich, play for Middlesbrough. Got promoted. He knows exactly what the Championship's all about. I know he missed a lot of last season because of a contractual issue, but he's now ready playing. And obviously, started the season, and he's a very good defender at that level. Really good.
So, what is the first game you'd like to discuss, mate?
It was obviously the game after our last show last Friday, Bournemouth against West Brom. I was super excited to watch just a live game with fans in. To be fair, and I wasn't let down. I thought that the end of the first half, I thought was brilliant. I thought the second half was just absolutely fantastic. I was so impressed with West Brom. I thought Bournemouth were going to win. I thought the way Scott Parker set them up and the team that he had out, I fully expected to win the game, but didn't work out that way. I thought West Brom Robinson in particular was excellent. Dean Garner, you know, I mean, these players have done it in the Premier, done it in the Premier League and the Championship. So you just need to be a little bit more consistent, so to speak. I thought Connor Townsend on the left hand side, I thought was excellent. He gave a debut to Mowat from Barnsley in centre midfield. We attacked a little bit more, and you know, it just shows how we talked about Barnsley last year about how good they were. Can they keep going? But when you lose a player of his standard, you know what I mean? But he didn't need to go to the next level start. He wants to be in the top six season after season. He wants to go to the Premier League next year, and he's got a chance. He has got a chance if the new manager, obviously Ismail from Barnsley, can carry on what he did last year for his new club.
He impressed me vastly with Barnsley, mate. Not just the, you know, what they did with the season, but just the way he changed his tactics throughout the season and adjusted. I was very, very impressed. You mentioned Connor Townsend, mate. Connor Townsend was awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think it's the manager for me. He gives you a new lease of life, a breath of fresh air, and you just said it there. You know what I mean? Changed his tactics. I thought he changed from defence into attack about three or four times in the game, and he caught Scotty Parker's side out a few times. You know, I just thought that they were dominated in possession a few times. Set pieces, they were really, really strong. And O'Shea scored a good header, and they were unlucky not to get another couple of goals, but they just looked like they bullied Bournemouth at times. And if they can continue that, because they used to do it when Slaven Bilic was manager, but just didn't have that finishing touch at times. You know what I mean? But they had a lot of flair players. Now he looks like he's got a strong, strong team and a strong squad to push forward. So I can't see them not being in the playoffs, by the way. I think they're, from what I saw in the first game, I know it's only early in the season, and people can say they could lose 45 more games, but they won't lose 45 more games. They have got a good side. Good side.
100%, mate. I still will never understand Scott Parker leaving Fulham to go to Bournemouth. Never. But it's there
strange,
we go.
It's a strange one. It was a strange one.
But I thought both teams did bits to which impressed me. I thought David Brooks did all right.
Yeah, I thought without, he was excellent. I thought on the ball side, he's technically very good. I think he was very unlucky to come off. I'm not sure if that was a decision what was made early that he was never going to play a full game. But when he's on the pitch, he makes things happen. And when he went off, they didn't make things happen. So, you know what I mean? I saw a different. They didn't go expansive anymore. They didn't attack as much as they did. And for me, he's got to play. Has to play every minute of every game.
Mm. Yeah, David, we talked, I think, last week, wasn't it? We said he's got to play 30-plus games this year and really push on. So the next game I'd like to talk about, mate, I think we'll go with... I would like to talk about Derby County Huddersfield, and I'd like to talk about Derby County generally. First and foremost, a draw wouldn't have been a terrible result for Derby after the year they've had, but Huddersfield were ravaged by COVID. They had a very different looking team. Derby, first game of the season, I think should have probably picked up a victory. You know, you should be beating a team that far away from their first choice on the first day of the season for me. But there was some signs in and amongst that I think Derby, they've got something there, whether it's just a bit of determination because everyone's writing them off, everyone's giving them so much grief that maybe they're just sort of having that siege mentality. But there was just a little bit there. And then obviously they played a vastly different team in the Carabao Cup, were 2-0 down against Salford, and it looked like it was all going wrong. And then suddenly, big ticket to penalties and Rabel Marsden's goal, by the way. Whew. But in the league, I thought that a draw is not a terrible result, but I felt like they would have, and Rooney would have expected to beat Huddersfield. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, listen, I think it was a good game for both teams to start on. I think good game for Derby because they were playing against a ravaged Huddersfield side. And I think a good team, a good start for Huddersfield against a depleted Derby County team and not really an unknown Derby County team with what's going on off the field. So I think it was probably a good game. And I think if you'd have probably offered both managers a point at the start to get them off the board, I think you'd have probably taken it. I was quite impressed with the game. I thought there was some good moments of quality. Obviously, Curtis Davies scored. You know, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's an excellent defender, especially at that level. He's got an abundance of talent at that level. He's still quick. He's good in the air. He can defend. So I don't think Derby will be as bad as what people are making out. You know what I mean? I know we can only talk about two games, but
we did both say they were going to get relegated last week, mate.
Yeah, I know exactly. So and to be fair, before the ball was kicked, I still probably stand by it. But after I've watched both games quite closely, and I watched the full game they played against.
Other teams worse than them, isn't there, at the moment?
Yeah, of course. And I do believe they'll bring players in, by the way, in the next week, because I believe the league has to allow something to happen. And if that's Wayne Rooney weaving his magic and in the loan market from United, Man City and other big football clubs, then he's going to get himself some good players. Obviously, Ravel Morrison played the other night and scored and just needs to get himself speed. And on him, if he plays and plays well, they've got a very good player and they've got an opportunity to progress up that table, but they need to get a tune out of him, and they need to get a tune out of him for at least 20 games, and no one's been able to do it. And if Wayne can do it, good luck to him. But nobody, I'm on about top managers as well, by the way, no top manager, Christy Wilder at Sheffield United couldn't get one, Neil Warnock couldn't get one. There's other better managers who just can't get one.
Do you think because of their ages and Rooney's reputation, and obviously was at United, and do you think that maybe Rooney will be able to sort of speak to him more as a manager, but also as a peer, and maybe Ravel Morrison sees him kind of on his level, if that makes sense, in terms of his ability, but they're closer in age, what he's been through in life and things like that. I just, look, for me, if Wayne Rooney gets 25 games out of, or 20 games out of Ravel Morrison this season, one, I think Derby will stay up. And two, I believe no matter where Derby finished, that Wayne Rooney will have done a good job this season. Because like you said, no other manager has been able to get a consistent tune out of him. Look, there's no doubt in his talent. You can see that by that goal he scored in the week. What
also
a goal, by the way.
On that point, though, there's no doubt in his attitude as well, which is obviously very, very poor. So, you know what I mean? He's got to take responsibility for how misunderstood or how bad his career's gone. You know what I mean?
It's weird, because I've heard he's actually a really nice guy. Like,
you know what I mean? I've seen a few interviews with him. He says all the right things, but do your talking on the pitch, unfortunately. You know what I mean? You've got to do your talking with your feet. And at the minute, and probably for the last 10 years, he's not done that. He's got to do it, and if he does it, then Wayne Rooney look excellent. But for me, it's down to the player. The player's got to take the responsibility, and regardless, the manager can only pick him. That's all the manager can do, and sees him in training every day. Apparently, he's one of the best trainers ever, but it means for nothing. You know what I mean? The player's got to get on that pitch on Saturday, and he's got to put the performances and the leg working.
But if he gets his head down and really goes and wants to prove something to the world, to people, wherever it may be, to whoever, to himself, like, he could do something special for Derby. It'd be fascinating. I'm watching Rooney this year in Derby. It's his first full season. I'm watching with real interest, because the job he's got now and the club he's in charge of now is very, very different to the club he signed for when we were jokingly saying he's been brought in to replace Philip Cocu, and, you know, he was, but...
Yeah. Like, totally agree.
It's two totally very agree. Different scenarios. So,
Agree.
What's your second game, mate? You want to talk about
the second game, Fulham against Middlesbrough. It was a proper Neil Warnock display, and all the Cardiff fans who were in the chat will know exactly what I'm talking about. We didn't touch the ball for probably 75, 78 minutes, and then we still got a draw, and it looks like an amazing result. I was quite excited for the start of the season. The fans were amazing, by the way. So if you went to the game against Fulham away from home, then fair play to you, because the noise was absolutely brilliant. I thought his team selection was spot on, but tactically wise, I don't think you can give good footballers like Fulham had and have so much time on the ball, because they probably should have been out of sight before we got we got fortunate and got an equaliser towards the end. Harry Wilson, I thought, was outstanding. I thought he led the line really well. He got the ball on the right-hand side. He caused Middlesbrough problems throughout. One player who I'm going to talk about a little bit more in shorter detail is Mitrovic. I thought was really poor. I don't know why. Is he looking to get away? And it's not normally like him, by the way. Normally performs to get away.
Yeah, but he looked like a bad attitude to me, mate.
I thought he was awful, and he's going to be in one of my ups or downs later on. I bet you can't imagine which, but I thought he was absolutely terrible. And one thing he did in that game was absolutely outrageous, and which I'm going to talk about. Listen, Middlesbrough will do all right this year. They won't create loads of chances. They won't score loads of goals, but we'll get results. And that's just how Neil does it. It's not everyone's cup of tea. People complaining about possession stats and things like this. But when you're playing Fulham, you're playing against other teams. You're never going to dominate possession. And for me, 34% possession, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's better than normal. So I think it's progress.
100%, mate. I thought Warnock's tactics and his substitutes changed the game. Got Burrow a point. So let's just talk about generally some of the other things which stuck out from the week. We had Luton Town beating Peterborough 3-0. That is not the start Peterborough would have wanted. No. However, Luton Town carrying on from last year, they had a great season last year.
Don't stop Stoke City winning the first game of the season after a terrible couple of years against a good side, by the way, against Reading. So that was a good start. Birmingham City winning again. You know what I mean? Great start. And listen, one thing I will say, Birmingham City, I don't know if anybody's seen Birmingham City substitutes on Wednesday night. Birmingham played somebody, and it was Jude Bellingham's brother, 15 years old. He was on the bench for Birmingham City. If he's half as good as Jude, then good luck to them. But one thing they can't do, though, side, they can't retire another shirt because one of them left.
Yeah. They should have just given him the next shirt up, so they've got two gaps close together.
He should wear his brothers. He should just wear his brothers. That's for me. He should just wear his brothers.
Yeah, it's look, Birmingham's academy seems to be producing, so good for them. They need that. I thought Blackpool did well to pinch a point off Bristol in the third minute of injury time.
I know we haven't touched on Cardiff.
Let's have a quick chat on Cardiff, mate.
Cardiff a little bit.
A lot of Cardiff fans in the chat.
For me, the biggest bugbear for me was Kiefer Moore. You know what I mean? Because he's not done a lot of football since the summer, so which meant that he couldn't start. He's your best centre forward. He's your main threat. And if you can't put me in the team because he's not had enough training, then there's something not right. You know what I mean? It's difficult. I get that. But if he's fit to be on the bench, then for me, put him straight in. You know what I mean? Because I think he's that bigger player for Cardiff. Cardiff missed him. I thought they got off to a good start.
Yeah, I thought Cardiff were great for half.
I thought they a good start in the first half. I thought they dominated the game. They just didn't get that finishing touch, which I think Moore or Harry Wilson would have given them. You know what I mean? Those two players, I think they were crying out for one of those two players in the first half. I thought Marlon Pack took his goal really well. But you're playing against a good side as well. You know what I mean? We forget, and Barnsley, remember, 2 years ago, nearly got relegated on the last game of the season. But last year, they were a standout side for probably 25 games. You know what I mean? So, and they finished the season really well. So they were always going to start the season with a bit of confidence with a new manager. So I don't think you can write them off again because they started the season really well. I agree with Kelly in the group chat. I thought Ryan Gillies or Gillies, I thought was very tidy. I thought he was very good.
Giles,
or whatever it is. He's very good.
Looks exceptional. I look forward to seeing him.
I wasn't massively impressed with James Collins. I'll be honest. I thought he led the line all right, but I thought we needed a little bit more.
Well, this is my problem. If they do sell Kiefer Moore, mate, we've got big problems because Collins is not going to get anywhere near those goals, even if he plays week in, week out.
Not for Cardiff, sir. Not for Cardiff.
Not
the way Cardiff play, because you said it earlier on about somebody, I can't remember who you said it about.
You've got to play to their strengths, haven't you?
Luton Town played to his strength, and because they had to. They didn't have a choice. Where Cardiff don't need to play to his strength in a way, because he's fitting into a Cardiff team or he's fitting into a Cardiff squad. I felt sorry for him a little bit because he looked a little bit out of his depth in his first game. And I thought normally, and the manager was desperate, he put him in, he gave him an opportunity. But for me, it didn't work out. I hope he does well because he's done well in the last three or four seasons in the Championship and in League One. So I really, really do hope that he can get a goal early and kick his Cardiff career on, because I know the Cardiff fans want him to score, and I know he wants to score. I know the manager wants him to score, but he just needs that goal.
Yeah, 100%, mate. I thought, look, Cardiff were very good for about 25 minutes, I thought. And then after that, I thought it was average. I thought Giles was excellent. I thought Pack was all right. I thought Rolls was pretty good. I thought Bakuna looks like a player who's been played out of position for two years, and he's still getting to grips with playing in midfield again. However, he did show a couple of little like glimpses of what he can do in that position, but he missed a big chance, Bakuna. And, you know, Cardiff fullbacks are very good. I thought Bingham was good as again. I do think that the 3-5-2 or the 3-4-2-1, whatever you want to call it, I think it does suit Cardiff, the players they've got, but they need to get Kiefer Moore in there. And if Kiefer Moore is going, they need to sign a striker, because if they're going to use Collins and Mark Harris, look, Mark Harris potentially is very good, but he's not going to go and score 25 goals up front on his own, because he's a young guy who's just finding his feet in the game, and he's not necessarily a striker to play up front on his own. Totally. You know, that would be like asking an 18-year-old Andy Campbell to play up front on his own in the Championship.
Dad, you don't want to do it. There's no worse position when you're a young lad, you know what I mean, that you want to be next to somebody getting that help, you know what I mean. For me, Saturday was crying out for two up front, but then it changed the dynamics of your formation straight away, because you're changing your whole formation just to try and accommodate somebody else. But for me, that's just one of those things.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Two ups, two downs for the week in the chat. People, tell us who your ups and downs were for the week. Let's start with the downs, mate. Who was your first down?
Well, first down, I spoke to him a little bit, and that was Alexander Mitrovic. And I don't know if anybody saw the game, in the middle of the game, and it was a scrappy first 10 seconds, ball in the air, and then about 30 seconds in the game, he's looked at the defender and gone in and threw an elbow at, I think it was Paddy McNair, and I just thought it was absolutely just outrageous. And in the commentary at half-time and full-time, the questions were thrown to Neil Harris, and
let me guess, didn't see it.
And Marie, no, they came out with a very strange comment for me, and it was, if that was 5 or 10 minutes later on in the game or in the second half, it would have been a red. Well, no, it's a red card, and for me, it's got to be a red. And I don't think how a manager, and this is where VAR comes in for me, you know what I mean? Because if the tackle's bad, then they see it again, and they can see it, and it can see you meant it. Because when you look at a player, there's intent, you know what I mean? If you're looking at the ball all the time and somebody gets hurt, I take that as an accident. But when you look at a player and you know he's coming and you intentionally do something, it just looked a little bit naughty to me, and I didn't like it.
Mm, yeah, there's needless, mate. Needless, which and can do so much damage. Donna says it's fantastic to see the fans back in the Cardiff City Stadium, the stadiums all generally. Bakuna missed two sitters, by the way, not one. And Kelly says there she didn't think Bagan and Bakuna worked particularly well together. It's going to take time, isn't it? Like, Bakuna's played fullback for two seasons. This guy, I just felt like he looked a bit out of place. But going back to that disgusting challenge, and right, it should have been red. But my first down is Swansea losing the ball in dangerous areas continually. I know that they've been doing it a long time, but it's going to cost them, because they're going to keep doing it, and it's going to cost them big time, because they're going to end up doing it in a big game or a big moment. You've got to do these things in the right place. That was my second down, mate. Totally what was your second? My first down. What was your second?
My second down was Preston North End's back four against Hull City. I thought it was just absolutely they were all over the place, and you know what, they got off to such a good start as well, and they were just making fundamental errors. They were being dominated by a team who's just come up from League One, they've got some serious work to do in that defensive area this week, because they need to, from what I saw in one game, and it was only one game, by the way, but they were shoddying all over the place. Absolutely.
Well, do you know what? I had Preston and Peterborough for the same reason. Look, Peterborough is the team coming up. We said they could go well. They could also not go well, but we thought that there was a chance they could go well. From what I saw on Saturday, They looked unorganized. They were all over the place. That is a problem in this league. The one thing teams coming up have to be is organized and compact and defend well. And they did not. So Peter need to make a big change to that. And like you said, Preston as well. Let's go to the positives to finish off, mate. Two ups for the week. I'm hoping you haven't picked the same one as me. We should have discussed this like we normally do.
I won't have. Mine are very general. Mine are very general. I've gone from really positive.
Great. First up.
My first up is the 34 goal, which was scored in the championship, because with the, you know, I mean, with what's been happening over the last year, the positivity and just goals. And I hope the championship can be the gift what keeps on giving, because we just all love goals being scored, and now we can celebrate it. It's even better.
Spot on, mate. So I went for kind of like the Borough Fulham game. I went for Neil Warnock subs, earning Borough a point, phenomenal. Yeah. Harry Wilson's league debut for Fulham, exceptional. Really, really good. And that bodes well for Harry Wilson. Look, Harry Wilson was excellent for Cardiff in bits, particularly at the end of the season. And if he can do that consistently over this season, then I will be happy, because that will mean that he's developed further as a footballer. Because my one gripe with him with Cardiff was that he wasn't consistent enough. But I thought he was fantastic on the weekend. Second up, mate?
My second up is fans back in stadiums. Because, listen, I watched the game Friday, loved it. I watched the game on Saturday. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I just loved the fans being back. And I know Craig just put in there about the Cardiff City tribute. And that's because of fans were back in the stadium. You know what I mean? Because you can only do a tribute when fans are there. The fans will absolutely adore people like Peter Whitten. And I love playing in front of a crowd. And there's nothing better. And now fans are coming back in abundance and just buying tickets and season tickets. And the buzz is there. The players are buzzing. The fans are buzzing. There's something to look forward to. And it's just like, long may it continue, because we've been away from it for so long. I didn't realise how much people had missed it. And yes, they said they missed it, but words mean nothing. But now they're putting the bums back on the seat, and it's just so nice to see. It's amazing.
Yes, spot on, mate. My second up is Fred. I'm going to butcher his name, so I apologise. Fred Uniyedidimama, I think, from Luton Town striker. Scored a fantastic goal, but absolute for his debut. Yeah, just thought he was outstanding. Ran his heart out. Bodes well for Luton Town, mate, because I thought he really, really impressed me with not just his quality, but his attitude, his like just endless, just effort and running and passion. That's what fans want to see, mate. I should also add, one of my downs was going to be, I said Swansea playing in dangerous areas. I meant to add the new name for the Liberty Stadium, mate. Have you seen that?
No, what is it?
It's not the bin. You'll be surprised to know. It is the Swansea.com stadium. Mm-hmm. Good for them for selling the rights to it. Or should I say good for Swansea Council for selling the rights to it. Good way to finance. It's a good way to finance football clubs, mate. At the end of the day, I think as long as it doesn't get ridiculous and there's stupid names, I think it's acceptable. I wouldn't hold it against any football club, even them, to you know, just to sell right name and rights to their stadium. I think that's perfectly acceptable. Can I just make, and this is the first time I've ever had to do this, can I just make this point in the chat, guys? Can you make sure you're not being horrible to each other? There's no need for it. Get a grip. Have a bit of fun. So, Monday evening, mate, we have an all-new guest, 7:30 live.
We do.
Tell us a little bit about him, Joe Riley. Looking forward.
Yeah,
to
we've got Joe Riley coming on, ex Bolton Wanderers, Shrewsbury Town, Plymouth Argyle fullback. Unfortunately, Joe's career got brought to a halt a couple of weeks ago through injury, and he wasn't able to continue. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to him about his time as a footballer, his the future. What does the future hold for someone whose future's been cut short in football terms? And you know what I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing how it's affected him physically, mentally, because as I said, I've been there, you know what I mean, and if I can help him, if he is struggling, or he can help me, I think it'll be I'm looking forward to it, really.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It's not very often that we get to speak to like a recently retired footballer. So I'm kind of interested in that side of it. He's also had a fantastic career, but I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. As ever, a big thank you to Black Diamond Sports and, of course, Bespoke Financial and Darren Ralston for sponsoring the show. Big up Will Melius and the Super Six League. Get involved, guys. I want someone, just one of you, someone beat me. Someone beat me this weekend. I'm unbeatable. I'm going to, by, what are we now?
Don't put pressure on yourself.
30th of August, mate. By the end of August, I'll be top of that league. Easy. Easy.
Don't put pressure on
yourself. By the end of August, I'll be 10 points clear. I'll be back live Sunday evening with the Danny Batten Fight Show. We have Cage Warriors number one contender, Sam Creasy, just weeks ahead of his world title fight, is joining us live. So you can get your questions in for Sam. And let me tell you, Sam, he is one of the nicest people you will ever see. He is just superb. And Craig, yeah, I will be absolutely unbearable if I win that league. And I mean unbearable. It's a bit of fun. It's all for charity. It's for good stuff. So let's do it. Let's get it going. Let's have a bit of fun with it. And that's what it's all about. Andy Campbell, isn't it? He's having a bit of fun.
It's having a little bit of fun and a bit of interaction with people, and that's all it's about. And it's involved football, so what's better? Nothing better.
Spot on, my friend. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in. Gav, I will send your T-shirt over the weekend. You will get it. I couldn't send it because I didn't have your address. I will send it.
My fault.
Yes, well. He was giving me pelters in the Kev show on the thing. I was like, I can't send it. I haven't got the
address. That's my fault. Gav sent it to me, but I didn't pass it on, see? So.
There we go. Not a mind reader. But there we go. Loads of good stuff coming up. Also, I know there's a couple of guys and girls who like the wrestling shows. New episode, first episode of Keeping It Real Series 2 is out tomorrow. With lots and lots to talk about with myself and Andrew. That's not live, it's a pre-record, but it's done and it'll be out tomorrow. So please do check it out. Spread the word, guys, and don't forget to download the audio version on the Sports Social later on this evening. Until then, I thank you all. Thank you to Mr. Andy Campbell, the legend himself.
Hey, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
My mummy and daddy have been talking about life insurance. It sounds like something to protect my brother and me, but I don't really understand. Then my Auntie Louise told Mummy about Bespoke Financial Teesside. She said they're a local company who helped her with her life insurance. Mummy got in touch, and because they're based locally, a man called Darren was able to come to our house. He was really friendly. Darren stayed for a cup of tea and made it all really easy to understand. He said that life insurance will protect our home and family if anything bad were to happen. Like if Mummy or Daddy got sick, then we'd get enough money to take care of us, and our house would be paid for so we wouldn't get taken away. After an hour, Darren said goodbye and Mummy and Daddy seemed a lot happier. Once it was all sorted, we could all relax and watch a film together as a family. I don't know why they didn't do it sooner.
I belong to you. Do just what you want. You're the one I trust. And I always be around when I need some love, and baby.
Podcast Network.